This is Scott Parker, servant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministering locally in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex and all over the world via the internet. I want to welcome you to my podcast. Father, I just give you praise. I just give you glory, for there's none like it unto you. The great I am who sits on the sides of the north in Mount Zion, the circle of the earth. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We thank you, Father, for your glorious Holy Spirit, for he is the eyes of the Lord who run to and fro throughout all the earth to show himself strong on those whose heart is perfect towards you. Father, we just thank you for making our hearts right. Well, thank God. I want to be speaking on the ministry of the Spirit of God. You know, if you were to ask many people, what is the purpose of a church service? You know, you'd get different answers. One would say this and one would say that. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16. And I'm going to read the International Standard Version. All scriptures God breathed and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good action. Okay? And you know, many would say, well, we go to church to hear the Word of God. Yes, this is true. To be taught the Word of God. Yes, this is true. But a minister is not just to teach you the Word of God, to, you know, to practice your life, but a minister is to minister to you the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit that a preacher ministers out that changes people's hearts. See, so we don't go to church just to listen to a good message, sing a few songs, and then say, well, that was great, let's go home. Let's look at a New Testament church and see how it compares with the church service that many have gone to. 1 Corinthians 14:26, Christian Standard Bible. What then, brothers and sisters? Whenever you come together, each one has a hymn, you know, sings a song, a teaching, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. Everything is to be done for building up. You know, we talked about building of the temple last week. And, you know, if you go back to verse 23, it talks about the whole church coming together. So I know this is talking about a church service. Then you go to verse 29, it says, let the prophets speak, two or three, and let the others judge. So the prophets are leading the church. You can find that in 1 Corinthians 12:28. God set first in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets and teachers, then gifts and healings. And so the prophets lead the church service. The gifts of the Spirit are in operation. And see, where the Spirit of God is in operation, people's hearts are going to be changed. All right? Now let's consider worship. John 4:24. God is a Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. One of the things you'll learn as a Christian is you don't just go through the motion and sing songs. You want to learn to get in faith and to get and to worship God in the Spirit. That's how you worship God in the Spirit, is by using your faith. All right? If you just sit there and sing songs, you're not going to get anything accomplished. But when you get in the Spirit, you worship God in the Spirit, you'll be ministering to the Lord, and he'll be ministering back to you. All right? See, you and I'll say this over and over in this podcast. What changes people's heart is the ministry of the Spirit of God. Okay? And you can get it in church and you can get it at home. See, prayers are, you know, we have this traditional concept of prayer where we, you know, some people bow their heads, some people put their hands together, whatever. And they're speaking to God. But, you know, prayers, you can just read the Word of God out loud and it'd be prayers. And when you get to where you read the Word of God, and you get in faith, these will be prayers of faith, okay? And where there is faith mixed with the Word of God, mixed with the gospel, there'll be the ministry of the Spirit will be in operation. I've been in this for many, many years, and you cannot get in faith without the Spirit moving, all right? And another way you get your faith stirred up is when you are praying and when you're seeking God, you get the mind of God and you start doing the will of God, the Spirit begins to move. All right? I've had times where I want to stir up my faith and I thought, what do you want, Lord? And then I got the mind of God and I began to do what God wanted and the Spirit was moving. All right? So what this is all about, our walk, is to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Not just have an outward appearance of righteousness, or I could say always, and this is a little different, but always striving to do what's right, like love your neighbor. But God want, and say you're striving to love your neighbor, but hate is in your heart towards your neighbor. Okay? Now, of course, we practice being kind and loving others, but what we want to do is get our heart right and walk in the Spirit of God, not just act loving towards others, but because our heart's still not right, we're walking in the wrong spirit. Do you understand where I'm coming from? I'm wanting to communicate that to you, because of course we want to be doers of the Word of God. We want to do what's right, love our neighbor, love God, love our neighbor. But because of the condition of our heart, we can do that in the wrong spirit. And you'll learn this when you get your eyes open. Look at Matthew 23:28. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Okay, so you can be, you know, we were raised from children to do what's right. We were raised to love God. We were raised to love our neighbor. But you see, we didn't understand the sin that was in us and why we had a problem loving God. Why people are rebellious against God. Why people hate their neighbor. Why sometimes this can be such a struggle. It's because of the sin in our heart. And, you know, I've heard for over 40 years, ministers teach that when you receive Christ, you get a new heart. Okay, you're saved now. Now, just obey the words of God. But that's not true. You don't get a whole new heart when you receive Christ. That's not sound doctrine. Your sinful nature, or the sin that's in you, is not dealt with until you're baptized in water. And if you study the scriptures, you'll see even after you come out of the water, you have to keep putting off the old man, keep believing the old man was crucified with Christ. Then that old man will be passing away. See, I guarantee you, if you'll learn to get in the Spirit, if you'll learn to get receive the ministry of the Spirit in your life by using your faith, these things will work. See, the Word of God is dead without the Spirit. Okay? So, and you'll run into Christians, and I'm here to help people, not put them down. So don't take this the wrong way. But there's Christians that are just dead, spiritually dead in their walk. There's no life in them. There's no spirit in them, because they just read the Word and they practice the Word. And these are people that are trying to follow God, okay? But the reason they're dead is there's no spirit in their life, because they're not instructed to get in faith. Okay. So when we come together in a church service, we have to learn to worship God in the Spirit. And the minister needs to teach the Word of God by the Spirit. And we need to allow the gifts of the Spirit to operate. And you say, well, I'm going to church where that's not going on. Well, you need to ask God if you're in the right place. Okay? And you're not. Okay? Might as well say it. You're not. Preaching the death, burial, and resurrection, if they're not teaching you the things I'm saying, you're in the wrong place. Okay, the more we yield to the Spirit, the more changes we're going to see in us. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, so as you yield to the Spirit, or the way you yield to the Spirit is to stir up your faith in prayer. And, you know, like I said before, don't just, you know, people have this religious concept of prayer where we have to be at a church to pray, or we have to fold our hands to pray. You can stir up your faith just talking about the things of God. Okay, and believing what the Word of God says, getting in faith. You know, you get God working in you just by believing the gospel. Okay, Galatians 3:5. And you know, I'm sure I've disturbed some people by saying you're not in the right place. Well, if the minister is not ministering the gospel in faith, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in faith, if he's not teaching you about faith and about the minister's Spirit, you're in the wrong place. If he's just teaching the Word of God, and there's no ministry of the Spirit there. And let me say this, if there's ministry of the Spirit there, there should be changes in the people's lives. And that's not going on, you're in the wrong place. Okay, Galatians 3:5. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and work of miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And you know, I'm very careful what I say, because I want to help people and not hurt them. All right. And that's why I want to keep my own opinion out. All right. Okay. So you minister the Spirit and work miracles. You do it by the works of the Lord, by the hearing of faith. See, we've been talking about faith. This is how you get the Spirit moving. Faith, believe in God. It should be the most utmost importance in your life. If I don't have the Spirit of God working in me, it's unbelief. And I need to overcome that. I need to believe right through my unbelief. I need to have, and I need all the help I can get by a minister that's got faith. So he can minister the Spirit to me. That'll help me. You know, I'll tell you another thing that'll help you is get anointed music and play it in your house and play it in your place of business and play it in, you know, it should be the worship of God. Worship music should be in every state house in the country. It should be in the White House. It should be everywhere. You say, well, we can't play worship music everywhere. We'll turn it down low where people could, where you can't barely hear it. So low, people won't even notice you're playing it. You know, because people got to do their jobs and people got to, they've got to be able to talk and have meetings and all this stuff going on. I understand all that. But you say, what's the purpose of that? Because you, one of the ways you minister the Spirit is through song, anointed music. Now, it has to be anointed. It has to be someone that can sing by the Spirit, someone that has faith to sing gospel songs, not just people singing, all right? But that's one of the ways you can minister the Spirit. Okay, moving right along. Let's look at this. 1 Samuel 6:23. I'm going to read the New Living Translation. And whenever the tormenting spirit from God troubled Saul, David would play the harp. Then Saul would feel better, and the tormenting spirit would go away. Now, other translators say this tormenting spirit is an evil spirit. And you say from God, well, God let that evil spirit out of him. And it troubled Saul. And King David played the harp, and the evil spirit left Saul. Now, two things you can see here. One is evil spirits can agitate you, make you irritated. Evil spirits can cause all kinds of emotional pain, all right? And so if you're out there, some of the times when you're just feeling bad, it's evil spirits putting those feelings on you. They're oppressing you. They're agitating you, okay? And the Spirit of God can set you free. Second thing to see is you can minister the Spirit of God by a musical instrument if you're anointed. And the Spirit of God will drive that evil spirit away from a person, and then they'll feel better. And see, David was anointed. He was anointed, and he played the harp, and it ministered the Spirit. You minister the Spirit by singing songs, gospel songs. You minister the Spirit by instruments, by someone that is anointed to do that. You know, I prayed and broken the power of the devil off people, and immediately they were no longer oppressed. And so a preacher, a pastor, a teacher, apostles and prophets should be ministering Spirit. Now let's look at how Jesus ministered. Luke 4:17. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. This is Isaiah. Or it says Isaiah, and that's Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. See, Jesus was anointed by God the Father, and the anointing was the Spirit of the Lord upon him. And Jesus didn't do any of the healings or the miracle. God the Father did. God the Father anointed Jesus to do them. And Jesus was just ministering the Spirit. Look at Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. See, I told you Jesus didn't do it. The anointing did it. See, he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. That's how he went around doing good. All the miracles and healings that Jesus did was by the anointing. And the anointing is the Spirit of God. And whatever God anoints you to do, you can do it if you obey. Turn to Revelation 4:1. Let's look at that. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit. Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and a rainbow round about the throne, in sight likened unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 elders, and upon the seats. And I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightning and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Okay, now let's go and look another place at the 7 spirits of God. Isaiah 11, chapter 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Let's read that in the Amplified Bible. Then a shoot, the Messiah, will spring from the stock of Jesse, David's father, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. Now, Jesus of Nazareth is the son of David. This is who it's talking about. Hold your place there. We're coming back. Go to Revelation 22, 16. And I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. There it is. Now go back to, that's what he was talking about. Isaiah 11. Let's go back there. Go to verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon me. Now here is the 7 spirits of God. Spirit of the Lord, there's 1, shall rest upon me. Spirit of wisdom, 2. Spirit of understanding, 3. Spirit of counsel, 4. And might, 5. Spirit of knowledge, 6. And the fear of the Lord. All right? These are the 7 spirits of God resting upon Jesus, and they will rest upon whoever God anoints. Revelations 1:4, we look at the Father and the Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him. Now here's the Father, which is and which was and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne. See, we read that again earlier. This is the Father and the Holy Spirit. And then verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, unto the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and the Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds. This is Jesus. Every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kings of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. Look at that. Just like the Father. It has the same description of the Son as the Father. Let me read that again. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Almighty. In fact, if you read a few scriptures after it calls Jesus the Almighty, it calls him the Son of Man. Now, back to Isaiah 11, 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon me. Here's 7 spirits of God resting upon the Son of David. Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of wisdom, understanding, Spirit of counsel, might, Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. Let me share this testimony with you. Back in the early 80s, the Lord revealed to me that I would minister by the 7 spirits of God. I didn't even know what that was. It was years later when I read this in Isaiah 11, 2. I said, oh, those are the 7 spirits of God. Okay, let's go to verse 11, Isaiah 11. Shall make him of quick understanding the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of the eyes. Still talking about Jesus, but this is the same way with anyone the 7 spirits of God rest upon. Neither reprove after the hearing of the ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth. Wow. With the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips, shall he slay or kill the wicked. Now, what's going on here? Jesus is smiting the earth and killing the wicked. I thought Jesus came to save mankind. He did. Turn to Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke, go back to the second chapter in Luke, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, and if you have to pause and you want to go look this up and follow me in all the scripture, pause it and go look it up and then unpause it. And the angel of the Lord said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now go to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, God the Father loves us. The Son loves us. The Spirit loves us. And their love is extended to the whole human race. And the salvation of God is extended to the whole human race. But if you reject it and you choose to go on trespassing against God and your neighbor, the day will come, the Lord will destroy you. See? And the only reason people perish is because they receive not the love of the truth. You can see that in Thessalonians. Don't do that to yourself, okay? Okay, verse 4 again in Isaiah 11. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, reprove with equity the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. That means kill him. Let's go ahead and take a break and hear a song. Let's do It Is No Secret by Pamela Pontia.
The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have hope for you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in God's light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Just take him at his promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. It is no secret what God can do.
Okay, Revelation 6:12. See if we can get this in context about Jesus slaying the wicked. And I beheld, verse 12, Revelation 6, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Now you can see this in Joel 2. This is right before the coming of the Lord. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll, when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondsman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. Hide us from the Father and the Son. Verse 17, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, I'm not settled on this, but even as I speak, I'm becoming more convinced that it looks like in the context of these scriptures, the Lord is going forth. He's slaying the wicked towards the end of the great tribulation. Let's read back in Isaiah 11 again. And look at the time frame. See, this God just showed me as I was reading this. That's Joel 2, where this is talking about the same thing, that his wrath is coming at the end of the tribulation. So I'm being more convinced. See, God's teaching me this as I go along. Some of it I know and some of it is new, and he's putting it together like pieces of the puzzle. Okay, Isaiah 11. Look at the time frame when the Lord's wrath is being poured out. I'm going to read the contemporary English version, verse 4, and the poor and the needy will be treated with fairness and with justice. His word, now look at this, will be law everywhere in the land. See, because God is going forth, conquering and conquering. The Lord's taking over the nations. And see, a great salvation. See, as you begin to put all this together, you'll get a clearer and a clearer picture of what's going on. This gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached during the great tribulation, then the end shall come. So now, we're getting close to the end of the tribulation. His wrath's being poured out. And here it says his law will be everywhere in the land, and the criminals will be put to death. Let me read the whole scripture again. Verse 4. The poor and needy will be treated with fairness and with justice. His word will be law everywhere in the land, and the criminals will be put to death. Now skip down to verse 6. Let's see when this is happening. Again. The wolf also shall dwell with the land, and the leopard shall lie down with a kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Okay, now verse 6 looks like the millennium, where the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with a kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. So based upon these scriptures, a great salvation is going to go forth during the great tribulation. Then those who reject it, the wrath of the Lord will come upon them. You know what? Did you know God poured out his wrath upon his son Jesus on the cross for all of us so we wouldn't have to pay for our own sins? But if you reject the great love and mercy of God, you don't have a leg to stand on. Okay, turn to Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Then he answered and spake to them, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Jerusalem, Zerubbabel. God, I can't say. Some of these Old Testament names are hard to pronounce. But thou shalt become a plain. Okay. Oh, great mountain before Zerubbabel. I know I'm not pronouncing it right. You'll have to excuse me. Shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the heads. I'm pressing through a spirit right now so I can minister the spirit. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, saying, grace, grace unto it. Now, what is this great mountain that is going to become a plain? Turn to Jeremiah 51:24. Behold, I'm against the old destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyeth all the earth. See, the devil is wants to destroy the earth. And I will stretch forth my hand upon thee and roll thee down from the rocks, and I will make thee a burnt mountain. Back to Zechariah 4. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Jerusalem shall lay the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts have sent me unto you. Who has despised a day of small things? For they shall rejoice. Now, some people read this wrong. They think you shouldn't despise it. No, it's saying you should despise it. For you shall see the plummet in the hand of Jerusalem. With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Now here it says those sevens are the eyes of the Lord. And it's referring to verse 2. Let's go back there. Zechariah chapter 4. And he said unto them, what seest thou? And he said, I have looked, behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are the top thereof. So the seven lamps are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro. See, if you put this together, put the second verse with the 10th verse together, and you'll see the seven lamps are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. So God sees everything that's going on there. Nothing's hid from him. Now go to Revelation chapter 4, verse 5. And out of his throne proceedeth lightning and thundering and voices. These are the seven lamps. See, there's seven lamps in Zechariah 4, 2. Burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And that's Zechariah 10. Okay, let's go read verse 9. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation's house. His hands also shall finish it. Thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Now, I'm not sure, but it looks like Jerusalem represents the New Testament apostles and prophets laying the foundation by the Spirit, working through them. Let's continue in Zechariah and look at the two anointed ones. Verse 11, then answered I and said unto them, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side there? Verse 13, and he answered and said unto me, skip down to 13. Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Now, we read this last week about the two olive trees in Revelation 11. Let's read again. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. They shall prophesy 1,260 days, sacked in Akloth. That's during the great tribulation. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the Lord. Now, if you compare Zechariah 4:11 to Revelation 11:4, you'll see these are the same people. Two witnesses, two candlesticks. Then say, these are the two anointed ones, or the two witnesses are the two anointed ones. They're both called the two candlesticks. They stand by the Lord of the whole earth. So if you compare Zechariah 4:11 to Revelation 11:10, these two anointed ones are the two prophets, and they have authority to prophesy judgment on the wicked during the great tribulation. Let's continue in verse 3. First, Revelation 11. And if any man hurt them, fire pursueth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. If any man hurt them, he must in this like manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them into blood, to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that sinneth out of bondage shall make war against them, shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. That's Calvary. And they of the city, and the kindreds and the tongues and the nation shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the grave. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. Let's read verse 11, the International Standard Version. But after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered into them. They stood upon their feet. That's the Spirit of God. And those that watched them were terrified. Then the witnesses heard a loud voice from heaven calling them, come up here. So they went up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies watched them. Now, if I have it right, that the great mountain in Zechariah 4, that it's, you know, where it says it's going to become a plain. If I have it right, and this is the destroying mountain, Jeremiah 51, 25, and the destroying mountain is the powers of the devil standing in the way of the temple being built. And these two prophets have great authority to deal with the powers of the devil and destroy them. That's what it looks like. All this is putting this together. I'm working so much that I have very little time and to put all this together. The more I go over it, like God is convincing me some more while I'm reading this. But I'm not totally convinced of the very last part, what I'm saying. But it looks like to me that these two witnesses, these two prophets, these two anointing one, it's obvious they have great authority and they're going to be prophesying. But in the context of these all scriptures, they're going to deal with the powers of darkness. And there's more to these scriptures there, but I don't understand everything it's saying yet. Anyway, let me check for time. You know, God does this with me. Oh, great. This is perfect. So God does with me like when he gave me the revelation, the parable of the bottles. He revealed to me what the old bottles were, but I still didn't understand the parable. But I began to think then, and it didn't make sense to me, and I won't go into it all at first. Then he revealed to me the rest of it, and then it all fit together. And see, one of the things where you can tell a revelation is from God is it'll line up right there with the Word of God. If you got a revelation and you can't find the Word of God, I won't believe it. I just won't believe it. If it's of God, it'll be right there in the Word of God, or at least line up with the Word of God. See, as many people have been deceived by revelations they got, but it wasn't by the Spirit. And I have too. So we have to use the Word of God to judge the Spirit. Not, we don't use the Spirit to judge the Word. People got it. Some people got it backwards. So anyway, I'm searching the Spirit right now to see if there's anything else to say. Nope. Anyway, thank God for what he's doing. I can't get anything else to come up by the Spirit. Thank God. All right. If there's any person out there, you've never been born again, never received Christ, this gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached up until the end. God loves the human race. He wants every person to be saved. There's nothing that will cause you to be rejected by God. Doesn't matter what sin you've committed, come to God. He can straighten you out. He can forgive you. And, you know, the devil will tell people, oh, you blaspheme the Spirit. God has to give you up to do that. And he won't do that. He won't allow baby Christians that to happen to them. He won't allow persons had never received the Lord to do that. I can show you places in the Word of God where God has to give you up. And, you know, people look at that. Well, if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of truth, I can show you how the Word of God, that's talking about going backwards. There's a lot of people that have backslidden, come back to the Lord, and they willfully sin and they're forgiven. So that's talking about a person that's gone away in the Lord and developed, and then they just went back into willful sin. And there is a danger there, but the devil will try to torment with you that if you're wanting to come back to the Lord, come on. All right. If anyone out there has never been saved, you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity. Call upon the name of the Lord and receive him as your Lord. You'll be saved. God will start a work of grace in your heart. Just repeat after me. Say this prayer. Lord Jesus, I just receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. It says the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I receive you as my Lord. And I just call upon the name of the Lord right now. If you're earnest and you mean that, then you're saved. The Spirit of Christ has entered into you. And now you're ready to start walking with the Lord. I encourage you to come back in and tune in to my podcast. I've been called as an apostle and prophet. And you know, I'll just say this to some of you don't you think that's kind of prideful to come out and say, a servant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't you think that's kind of pride? No, it's not prideful at all. Philemon 6 says that the communication of my faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in me in Christ Jesus. That's saying when I acknowledge who every good thing that's in me, the gift of Christ in me as an apostle and prophet, it causes my faith to become effectual, active, working. You know, one time I started saying I'm an apostle and prophet, started getting faith in that, and I could tell I had more faith to deal with the devil. He does not like that. That's why Paul opened his epistle saying, a servant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said, a servant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not pride. That's acknowledging who I am in Christ. All right? And it makes my faith work in that area. Whoever you are in Christ, acknowledge it. All right? It'll make your faith come alive. Okay, that's all I've got for this podcast. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
Shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water.